The BBC Africa presenter Ben Hunt has been named as the corporation's first LGBT correspondent. The BBC said it was aiming to create the most open, inclusive culture we can. Is it a position that the BBC should be creating? An LGBT correspondent. The commentator Angela Epstein's with us this morning. Morning, Angela.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And John O'Doherty from the Rainbow Project. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Stephen.
For those people, John, who say, look, the BBC doesn't have a straight correspondent, why should it have an LGBT correspondent?
Well, I think we have to go where the news is, Stephen. If we look in 2018, what we've seen is a massive gender recognition consultation being carried out by the British government and a national conversation on what it means to be trans and our approach to gender in our society today. The fact is, this is a civil rights issue of a generation, and we've seen that through your own show, Top Table, with the number of young people raising LGBT issues and the number of young people in support of LGBT issues. I think to continue to compete with other online news providers, BuzzFeed, Huffington Post and others, I think it's important that the BBC stay abreast of many of these issues. There's many negative stories about LGBT people, but there's also the huge positive impact LGBT people have on our world. And it's worth noting that, you know, in 37% of countries across the world, it is still illegal to be gay, including 7+ countries where
being
gay is a death sentence.
I hear all of that, but I think the point of this debate is that, look, you know, could correspondents across the board in the BBC, when there's an issue that comes up about gay marriage, could a correspondent, you know, one of the many correspondents that the BBC has, could they not be covering that story just as well as an LGBT correspondent? If a story comes up about gay people's rights, could a correspondent from the general pool of the BBC not cover that issue? And then, you know, look, if we've got a... Why is there not an anti-gay marriage correspondent? Why is there not a straight correspondent? Why is there not and where does this end? That's the point.
Well, see, I think, you know, if you're going to make that argument, why can't someone else deal with this? I think that works on most positions of correspondence. If you look at the Royal Correspondence, for example, why does that need a specific office within the BBC? It's because it's newsworthy. It's because it's what people care about. It's about ensuring the best news. And it's not just about covering the stories that are happening. It's also about investigative journalism as well on issues that matter to LGBT people or allies in wider society, and particularly young people across our society. It's so important that they are engaged in news and understand what's happening across the world, but also have access to information which is important to them. And I don't think there's a fair comparison by saying...
Why should there be an LGBT correspondent and not a straight correspondent?
Because what we're looking at is a world where LGBT people are not accepted. We're looking at a world where LGBT issues are newsworthy. You don't see issues, you don't see opposition to, you don't see persecution or prosecution of people on the basis that they are straight. You do on the basis that they are LGBT.
Well, that's your... on that point. So that's your opinion. But you know that there are people who feel that they are persecuted because they feel, for example, gay marriage, for example, that there is too much of a campaign to open that up beyond a man and a woman. And you've heard all of those arguments from heterosexual Christian people who say, look, this has gone too far. And what about our rights? Why don't they have a correspondent?
Well, because you're picking on a very individual, specific issue there, Stephen. LGBT issues go way beyond simply the issue of same-sex marriage. And we've seen that throughout recent years, particularly in the last year, and the amount of public debate and discourse there's been around transgender issues and the proposal by the government to amend gender recognition legislation. We have seen issues such as the blood ban, adoption rights for same-sex couples, issues within education, mental health issues. And I mean, even if you look at your own show, how many weeks of the year do you cover LGBT issues? These are newsworthy. These are covered by media outlets across the world. This is what young people care about. And not just young people, not just LGBT people, many people within our society, but also the public discourse around equal marriage, around issues of people of faith and LGBT people. These are important issues to be covered. These are important issues to be studied and examined. And investigated so that the best news can be brought to the general public on these issues.
Angela?
And for that reason, I believe it's appropriate to have an LGBT correspondent.
Okay, well, I agree with a lot of the questions you've already put, Stephen. Good morning. But what I would say is this. Let's just park the fact that there are people that are part of the LGBT community who have particular needs and challenges. Absolutely, stories arise from that, and they need to be addressed. It's for society as a one and all interdependent community to be respectful of that. However, in terms of the BBC or public service broadcaster, I think this just smacks of ridiculous political correctness. It's diversity chasing, headline grabbing soundbiteism, as far as I'm concerned. I was trying to think of the right word then, because what's happening is that any vestige of anything that smacks of traditionalism is sort of being steamrolled by the idea that we have to have a correspondence for anything that diverges from that. So, for example, I think it's an erroneous comparison to say we have a royal correspondent. You've got years and years of history, and you've got the huge, creaking, monolithic royal family, the monarchy, and somebody has to really get to grips with the history and the understanding of that in order to report on it. In the same way, you need people that have a massive understanding of particular countries where they're seconded as war reporters or health reporters. I think there are so many different colours in the spectrum of humanity, and to start isolating individuals, I think you're quite right. Why don't we have a straight reporter? Why don't we have a Jewish reporter? Why don't we have a Muslim affairs correspondent? I mean, if the story is big enough for it to affect us as society, then a decent journalist will be able to do the job. They don't have to necessarily, because otherwise it suggests there is not only tokenism, but there is some kind of subliminal support rather than taking that objective view as well. And you need objectivity, because for every member of the LGBT community who has an issue, we have to also respect the people on the other side who take issue with unisex toilets where there used to be toilets for boys and girls at schools, or issues where boys can wear skirts at schools. I know we're not getting into that conversation now, but these points have to be challenged have to be challenged.
John, it's an interesting point in that, well, can I ask you this, John? Do you think the LGBT correspondent, for example, can impartially report on gay marriage?
Of course they can. They're LGBT journalists right across the world covering these issues, including here in Northern Ireland, and doing so to perfect journalistic standards. So, yes, I absolutely think.
So you don't think an LGBT correspondent
cover same-sex marriage issues,
sure,
and do so?
So you don't.
But
it's sometimes about the perception, isn't it? So you don't think an LGBT correspondent might be perceived to be pro-gay rights, pro-gay marriage?
Well, I mean, I think a good journalist doesn't really take a position on these issues, Stephen, and I think Europeans most days, to ensure that you're not seen to be biased in support or opposed to particular issues when they're debated in your show. And I think the journalistic integrity of, I would dare to say, the vast majority of staff in the BBC is something that should be the question.
But that's what comes to the heart. One second, John, then I promise you can, because we can spend time in this today. But I guess that's what comes to the heart of this debate, and it's an interesting debate. That if, as you say, the LGBT correspondent can be impartial and can hold the perception of impartiality, then why do we need the title LGBT correspondent?
I think it goes back to the comments that were just made. You know, if you look at the royal family, the arguments being made is there's a huge history here and there's a huge number of them. There aren't more royals than there are LGBT people. We exist in every single part of the world. If we look at it from a UK perspective, there are 37 out of 53 Commonwealth countries that currently have laws that make it illegal to engage in same-sex relationships. That is newsworthy, but it's not something that you're hearing about. Who is the person focused on that story? Who's the person focused on the fact that in multiple countries across the world, people are being put to death simply for the fact that they are LGBT. Who's covering the conversion therapy camps where people are literally being starved and beaten to death simply because they are LGBT? I don't think anyone has made an argument so far that LGBT issues aren't newsworthy, that people don't care about them. So I think investing resources and expert people in investigating these issues and ensuring that they're dealt with
appropriately. Quite a powerful argument, Angela.
I think is appropriate.
I think the problem is that you have a partisan view by calling it the LGBT correspondence. So how do you cope with a story where you have a school, for example, that is introducing a policy of allowing boys to wear skirts at school, okay? Even though they're a minority component of the school, that's not to say there are not people within the school who may have issues that need addressing and need particular attention, counselling, guidance. There's a kind of blanket one-size-fits-all policy. And so it creates an element of confusion amongst your average sullen adolescent who probably doesn't have gender issues, gender identity issues, but it's providing something to place in the vacuum. Now, that's something I hear from parents frequently. They feel that their children are being shortchanged because a minority component, and that's not to say that that minority shouldn't be addressed sensitively, is being steamrolled. The majority is being steamrolled by the minority. Now, that to me, speaking as a journalist, needs a broadly objective journalist to look at both sides of the story.
But the LGBT correspondent can be objective.
An LGBT correspondent, by definition, suggests that there is already a kind of particular perspective on that story.
But that's not true. A royal correspondent can both bring a story which is positive or indeed a story which is negative about the royal family.
So
they're just specialising in that area.
So why can't a non-LGBT correspondent report on that kind of story?
There's an assumption there, Stephen, that the LGBT correspondent has to be an LGBT person. Now, personally, that would certainly be my preference. But it's not necessarily a requirement because there's a lived experience of being an LGBT person.
That takes away the objectivity then.
I don't think that it does.
Well,
I think
how
that
can it not?
Saying that living as a black person means that you couldn't cover apartheid in South Africa. It's an absolute nonsense argument. I think to question the journalistic integrity of someone simply because they're an LGBT person having to deal with LGBT issues. For over 30 years here in Northern Ireland, we have people from both nationalist and unionist and Republican loyalist backgrounds covering the troubles and doing so with absolute journalistic integrity. And I see no reason why an LGBT correspondent couldn't do exactly the same. And I think it's unfair to suggest that every LGBT issue has an opposing side. You take the issue of schools and you focus on the idea of boys wearing skirts. I think there's a more important conversation to be had about the fact that in the vast majority of schools across Northern Ireland, we still in 2018 require young girls to wear skirts to school. I think there's a national conversation to be had on gender roles and the impact
of
gender.
I've got a daughter who wears a skirt to school. She's quite happy to wear it. Why is that even?
She's very welcome to, and she should absolutely be allowed to. The problem is that
she should be allowed to. So why is it a conversation that we need to have?
Could you please stop interrupting me? I never interrupted you.
All right,
fact is that it's not that they should or shouldn't be allowed to wear skirts. It's the requirement to wear a skirt. It's this requirement to wear the gender on the outside of your body by your school. If a girl wants to wear a skirt, she should absolutely be allowed to. If she wants to wear trousers, she should absolutely be allowed to. If someone who identifies as a boy wants to wear a skirt, then he should be allowed to. I don't understand what the problem or issue is.
What if you play for Manchester United and you don't like the colour red? The whole uniform thing to me, the kind of political correct slanting of that argument takes away the fact that...
That's politically correct in saying that girls shouldn't be forced to wear particular types of clothes.
Absolutely. If that's the requirement of the uniform, then that's the requirement of the uniform. If you don't like it, go to a different school. It's like saying, I want to be a nurse, but I don't like wearing the uniform that they wear. I don't want to be a police officer. Uniforms...
No, it's not, because people choose to be a nurse. People don't choose to be in school. People are required by law to be in school.
And
so it's an unfair comparison to compare this to some sort of a job. This is where they're required to be. And in Northern Ireland, the vast majority majority of schools, I'm talking 90% plus, require young girls to wear skirts to school. So the idea of changing school is not a possibility. What's important here is that you wake up to the reality of the role gender plays in our society, the negative impact it has, particularly on women. And the questions that are coming forward are because trans people in particular are challenging these gender norms across our society. And I think that's something that certainly should be welcomed. We need to have a national discussion on the impact of these gender roles on our children, on our society, and on people's development.
Here's Dean. Morning, Dean.
How you doing, Stephen? And though I'm just, personally, I just think it's a good thing. I'm gay myself, and I just think within in Northern Ireland here, there's already inequality for the LGBT community anyway. So how can it be deemed as a bad thing? It's another positive step forward. It's another way of saying, look, the LGBT community are being more accepted here in Northern Ireland. And there's a lot of LGBT people that pay their TV licence, but I like to think they all do, actually, and pay their TV licence for the BBC as well. So I just don't understand. I missed the start of your call. I don't know who the female English person there is.
Angela Epstein, you can say good morning to her.
Good morning. I'm sorry, my phone went dead halfway through, so I missed the first little bit of what you were saying.
Well, I think our caller Dean wants to speak to you, Angela. Go ahead, Dean.
Sorry, go ahead.
Then, like, personally, Angela, I don't know your background, I don't know where you come from or anything, but over here in Northern Ireland, the LGBTQ community already feel like second class citizens as it is, but we're denied our marriage rights, we're denied certain other rights, and that's through the devolved government. It's easy for you to come on and say, no, you don't agree with this, you don't agree with that. Well, I personally, like, I'm gay. I wouldn't actually be bothered if someone turned around and said, oh, there's a Christian correspondent, you see. The thing about it is, everyone's entitled to their own beliefs. You just don't have to shove them down everybody else's throat. We're going to turn on the radio or the TV some days and we're going to see things that you don't agree with. Fair enough. Switch over and get on with it. It's not, you know, this should not be seen as a negative. This should only be seen as a positive step forward.
It is from the perspective of the LGBT community, and I understand that. But you have to also understand that as a minority, which doesn't mean that you're unimportant, I'm looking at the numbers here.
Equality means we're just equally the same. But unfortunately here in Northern Ireland, we're not treated equally the same. Okay. We should be the same, yes. Not more, not better, or not less the same. In the North, we're not treated the same.
Okay. What I was going to say, and I understand that, is that when you have a minority agenda foisted on a majority, that doesn't mean that the minority doesn't have to have a voice, but you have to be proportionate. So, for example, I object to the fact there are so many institutions now where the toilets are unisex. I don't want to go to unisex toilets. You're allowed to object to that.
That's fine. That doesn't mean it should stop altogether because one person thinks, oh, here, I object.
And also, Angela, the LGBT correspondent can surely present a report on what you've just said, for example, same-sex toilets.
Why does it need to be an LGBT correspondent to do that?
But my point is this, that LGBT correspondent will be working within the BBC's editorial guidelines, the BBC's rules, and can put as much of an impartial report forward for publication as any other correspondent.
Okay, so any other correspondent can do the story. I don't understand why. To me, it seems a cheap trick for the BBC to flag up their kind of celebration of diversity.
Why not celebrate diversity, though? What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with celebrating diversity, but I don't understand why you need to have an individual correspondent for that. Because, as I said before, this idea that the story is being hoisted on top of people, they were talking about journalism here.
We're talking about people covering stories and stories that matter. This isn't someone going out of the way to cover stories that the BBC have no interest in covering. The fact is these stories are covered every single day by the BBC. What this is about is investing money where the stories are coming from, and people care about LGBT issues, even if they agree or disagree. And to go back to the point about arguing this comparison between people of faith and LGBT people, based on your argument, are you suggesting then that all faith-based broadcasting should be removed from the BBC?
Absolutely not.
Debates that are led in the position of faith, cover of church services. Well, then what's the fair argument that this is unfair to people?
I guess her argument might be, John, we don't have a Muslim correspondent.
But we have lots of coverage of faith and...
That's huge. When you lump all the religions in this country together, that's a huge story. What I'm saying is you're dealing with a minority part of the community. I'm not diminishing its importance. We are a public-funded broadcaster. There are lots of issues amongst the wider majority who are concerned about their children, who are at stage of adolescent confusion, and they're getting a constant stream of this being foisted upon them in terms of unisex toilets and boys wearing skirts. And I know there's a counter argument and there were those that feel it's necessary. But the point is that this is a small minority in this country, and the BBC are investing that minority, whatever it is. Whatever it is, whatever
okay.
the voice they're
up to. Here's June and Banbridge. Morning, June.
Good morning.
June. Go ahead, June.
In the UK, it was illegal to
do that. As it always, that these gay people all woe us. Oh, dear, we don't get this. We see everything that happened to you, bullying and all. It all happens throughout all. And really, I tell you something, wearing skirts and boys wearing skirts to school just doesn't happen. You know what I mean? There's rules laid down. What do you want? Lawless society? That just the gays can do what they want and everybody else has to go for them? Don't think so, mate. We all live in the one place. You know what? There's rules. Live by the rules and stop making your own rules and want to go on and on. You never stop. We want just this. We want just that. And it goes on.
Who's
and
they?
On. We all want something.
But what do you mean, June?
You know what I mean?
They?
But we all don't
June,
get something.
June, what do you mean they and yous? What? Who are you talking about?
What's he talking about? Tell me what he's talking about.
But do you not want...
They're not allowed to do this.
Well,
rules and rules to be obeyed. And if they don't like it tough, not everybody likes the rules. Well, we have to obey it by them.
Yes, but June, hold on. Calm down one second. When you're saying they and the gays and all of this, you're part of a community. They're human beings.
Exactly.
When you're
exactly.
saying you're differentiating yourself.
No, they're differentiating us, whatever they call themselves by their initials. They're the ones that are doing it. They're not
calling themselves by their initials.
Yeah, they are. What do they call themselves?
LGBT.
Do you object?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you object
so
to them?
They are differentiating themselves.
Do you object to the BBC having an...
I'm a woman or I'm a man.
June, let me ask you a question.
I have no idea what they are.
Listen, well, that's just really offensive, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's offensive to me that my grandchildren have to go to school because somebody wants to wear... A fella wants to wear a skirt. They want the whole laws changed just to suit them. End off. There's no argument.
It's called rights.
There's nothing
there
wrong
is an argument.
Going to school.
The very fact.
No
the very
wrong
fact.
Going to
June, let me speak to you, and let's not shout each other down. The very fact that you don't think there is an argument, the very fact that you don't think that there is another side of a debate that you should consider, does that not tell you something about you?
No, it doesn't tell me. Where do you tell you what about him? What about him?
Well, what about you, June?
What about
you?
Going on about people wearing young children been sent to school male and skirts? What does that tell you about him?
What does it tell you about you that you haven't got an understanding of what trans means?
Let me tell you something. I have family that are gay. It's not a problem for me. It's wanting to all these laws change. We want toilets. You know, I don't want my wee granddaughter going into a toilet, and I don't mean by gay, but any man could walk in there. You know what I mean?
What do you think about the BBC appointing an LGBT correspondent?
They can do whatever they like.
Do you support it? Do you think it's a good thing?
I wouldn't have nothing against it. What I have against is these and going on and on and on. You know, we're all human at the end of the day. There's rules to be obeyed. Obey the rules. Don't be changing them just to suit your side of the story and not my side. For us all to live together. That's what I'm saying. There's uniforms at school. Leave the uniforms. Leave our kids out. But that's what I'm saying. Leave the kids out of it.
John O'Doherty? Dean wants to speak to June. Go ahead, Dean.
Dean, can I just say there, I don't know where you're from or anything. Well, I take it you're from Northern Ireland. And I understand you're entitled to your own view and fair play. But I do think there's a way of putting it across. For a start, the LGBTQ community, which I'm a part of, we're all under one umbrella. I'm gay. I know I'm a male. But someone that's born who believe they're transgender, that's completely different from being gay. So personally, I think before you pick up the phone the next time, is go maybe and use Google if you have it and try and educate yourself before you come across slightly homophobic there in your views, to be honest with you.
Well, she would deny being homophobic, wouldn't you, Jim?
Well,
Let her respond.
Wide up to yourself. Like I say, I have nephews and I love them to bits. So don't you dare to tell me I'm homophobic. Look, you know what's wrong with you? You know what's wrong? You know what's wrong with you? Get a life. get a life. You know, we all have our own opinions. Not your opinion matters no more than mine.
I didn't say it did, but I see.
But you do. Now you're calling me a name. You're making up. You're making up.
Hold
that on. I'm a homophobic.
No, 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 no. And
how
listen.
Dare you say that?
Okay, stop.
How dare you say that?
Okay, stop. Stop. Both of you, stop. And let me chair this. So basically, there is no suggestion that June is homophobic, no suggestion whatsoever, and she's made that very, very clear. Dean, do not go into that territory because you don't know this lady and she has rejected what you have said and there's no evidence to suggest otherwise. But she is basically saying, Dean, that, look, we do not need an LGBT correspondent.
She's entitled to say that. She's not entitled to say that. But I'm on about the bit where she's saying, oh, these people don't know who they are. Who is she on about?
Do you know that fella there? You want to go and have a talk with him?
Why is that, June?
Why is that? Because you're making up accusations.
No, no.
I think we've already covered that.
We've covered that.
Yeah, sure we have.
Okay. All right.
All your side, nobody else's side, nobody allowing an opinion. Is that what's wrong with you?
June, thank you. Dean, thank you.